This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Listening to The Morning Run. Now, a quick recap of Bursa Malaysia. Hey, it's in the green.
Yeah.
It suddenly hurt me and it's gone up. So it's up 0.17% to 1586. The rest of the region, not much change, also in positive territory.
Yes.
But let's shift our attention to Indonesia, because Indonesia experienced a recession much like other countries in 2020 due to a fallout from the unprecedented health crisis triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic. And even for this year, the Jakarta Composite Index, the main benchmark of the Indonesian equities market, was hit badly during the first wave of COVID-19. However, the index has managed to recoup its pandemic-driven losses as economic data and the latest development on COVID-19 suggest fundamentals are improving.
Now, the JCI closed at 6,486 points yesterday and recorded 1,261 new infections of COVID-19 yesterday. So what is the outlook like for Indonesian equities? What are some of the top picks to look out for?
To help us answer that question, we have on the line with us this morning, Jerry Goh, Investment Manager, Asia Equities at Aberdeen Standard Investments. Good morning, Jerry. Now, currently the JCI relatively flat on a year-to-date basis, but what are the catalysts for the market to re-rate?
Thanks for having me back. JCI has been a laggard relative to other markets, as you have been seeing, but we are really seeing signs of recovery. The background information for the JCI is that rally in the first 9 months came from the new economy and internet-related stocks. So IT sector, media, advertising, technology, and e-commerce-related sectors, they have all rallied, but they have right now become relatively more expensive compared to the old economy stocks, more traditional value stocks that are more hinged on the economic recovery and reopening. And these include the banks, property sector, cement, energy for some reason, and maybe some consumer-related companies. Therefore, the first catalyst or thing that the market is looking at is actually the valuation differential, or in other words, the rotation from the expensive to the cheap, which we have seen that happen at or around August 2021 this year. But this time around, it's actually backed by some fundamentals coming through, as rightly pointed out. We are seeing good data coming in. To have a sustained rotation, we are generally looking out for a sustained reopening and a sustained recovery. And what determines a sustained recovery would depend on, amongst other factors, the pace of vaccination, which wasn't evident in the first half of this year. On the assumption of 2 million doses a day, 85% of Indonesia is expected to have received their first jab by the end of 2021, and probably around 68% their second jab. I think this is a very toppish estimation, and therefore I expect something, a much slower dosage rate of around 1.5 million doses a day, which is the current 7-day run rate, which is excellent pace, because the vaccination status will be around 80% first dose, 55% second dose by end of 2021. I'm looking at the whole of Indonesia. And I think this is excellent outlook for the COVID restriction levels to drop further, which means more mobility, more opportunities for groups of people to hang out, malls reopened, and of course, the dreaded or not so work from office. This would probably be the main catalyst for the market.
So, you know, for you, how would you look at your portfolio? What's the proportion of your shift from defensive to cyclical? Or is it too early in the cycle then?
I don't think it's too early to shift, because there are two ways to think about this. Firstly, you sort of have support from valuation. Valuation of cyclicals and the reopening plays are really cheap. Some banks are trading below book, some slightly above premium to book. But the overall picture is that valuations are definitely lower compared to five-year averages. The price-earning ratios of cyclicals are way below the five-year or 10-year averages. The property sector, for instance, they're trading at around 0.4 to 0.6 times price to NAV. That's a huge discount. Even though there has been a bounce recently, the sectors I've mentioned earlier is still trading 1 to 2 standard deviations below the long-term average. Secondly, the vaccination program has been going on very strongly. In Jakarta itself, we're seeing much closer to 100% first dose coverage by end of October, and 85% full vaccination by end of 2021. The current rate right now is 96% and 71% first and second dose. So with this increased vaccination rates, government can reduce restriction levels from level 3 to level 2, and this would aid for better mobility. And vaccination rates would also be positive for consumer sentiment and confidence. At the same time, we are looking at commodity prices being very strong. which can lead to super strong trade surpluses. And this would mean that we might be able to achieve the government's target of 5.2% GDP growth in 2022 versus 2011 of 3.7 to 4.5% thereabouts. So the positive banking data, we are starting to see this. They are all registering month-on-month pre-provision operating profit growth, even in the recent months where Delta variant was rampant in Indonesia. And this sort of implies that the damage is not as bad as the market perceived it to be. And therefore, all these data actually suggests strongly to actually shift from defensive sectors to cyclical sectors. And I would probably look to that.
Now, Jerry, the other thing to, of course, look at is the rupiah, because the fortunes of the Indonesian equity market are closely tied to that. Do you expect the rupiah to maintain the current range of 14,200 to 14,400 against the US dollar?
I think the rupiah should maintain the current range against the US dollar. The FX fundamentals are really supportive in 2021, but for 2022 itself, it should be slightly unclear. Let's talk about 2021 first. The main reason for supportive FX fundamentals are likely due to the commodity prices boom. And this is sustained, especially given China is demanding much more coal to brace itself for winter amidst shortages of supply. This led to both demand side and supply side related push and pulls. Net exports from Indonesia, given the country is much more commodities linked, have been very strong. Palm oil prices have been up. Coal prices have been up as well. And this propped up the trade surplus very, very strongly. Net imports remain pedestrian. For instance, while oil prices have gone up, oil imports have been reduced by about one third compared to 5 years ago because of a series of policies by the government. So generally this year, instead of a deficit, we are likely to see a surplus of, I think, around more than 2% of GDP, which should help the FX fundamentals. At the same time, equity foreign portfolio flow has turned positive in third quarter 21. I know there are different estimates out there, but one of the estimates I'm using is that the bonds and equities foreign ownership is still at a very low base and it has turned positive. This would bode well for the IDR stability, despite the Fed tapering environment. For 2022, it's slightly unclear because all the reasons I've mentioned above, it's much more cyclical tight, right? It's driven by surge of commodities rather than actual recovery of base metal exports. So we're not sure how this will look like in 2022. Fingers crossed that the underlying economic activity will be sustained in 2022. And that could probably sustain the strength of the rupiah.
So Indonesian local firms raised a record 32.1 trillion rupiah, about 2.26 billion US dollars from the stock market this year, with 26 companies still in the pipeline. What names are of interest?
Oh, this is a very exciting question. I think for this itself, we've seen the IPO of Bukalapak, one of the internet e-commerce companies that focuses on offline to online. That in itself has garnered a lot of interest by foreign investors itself. And I think going forward, some of the more interesting sectors, I wouldn't want to drop names as far as possible, but some of the general sectors that we are very interested in include the internet sector. For instance, GoTo, this is one of the blockbuster that we are watching very closely, and they are probably going to IPO in fourth quarter. Hopefully it happens. There are also a few others, including Traveloka, for instance. They are a travel agency for Southeast Asia or beyond. And also some of the companies that are linked to the e-commerce sector is also very interesting, like the logistics players, for instance. The main reason for this is because China's clampdown in the internet sector and regulation clampdown over there have led to investors starting to look for other plays in other areas, such as in ASEAN and in Southeast Asia, where regulations aren't that tight. So investors are turning their attention over here. They might be trying to find internet-related companies to substitute some of the internet plays in China.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was Jerry Goh, Investment Manager, Asia Equities at Aberdeen Standard Investment. Looks like Jakarta is going to have a pretty good year. The equity market nonetheless for 2022 and a lot of IPOs, something that we unfortunately don't seem to have, exciting IPOs. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.